Wednesday put his finger to his lips, and they walked forward. Farther in, a player piano was playing something that was intended to have been Ravel's Bolero. The place seemed to be a geometrically reconfigured 1960s bachelor pad, with open stonework, pile carpeting, and magnificently ugly mushroom-shaped stained glass lampshades. Up a winding staircase was another room filled with knick-knacks.
They say this was built by Frank Lloyd Wright's evil twin, Frank Lloyd Wrong.
He chuckled at his joke.
I saw that on a t-shirt.
Up and down more stairs, and now they were in a long, long room made of glass that protruded needle-like out over the leafless black-and-white countryside hundreds of feet below them. Shadow stood and watched the snow tumble and spin.
This is the house on the rock?
He asked, puzzled.
More or less. This is the infinity room, part of the actual house, although a late addition. But no, my young friend, we have not scratched the tiniest surface of what the house has to offer.
So, according to your theory, Walt Disney World would be the holiest place in America.
Wednesday frowned and stroked his beard.
Walt Disney bought some orange groves in the middle of Florida and built a tourist town on them. No magic there of any kind. Although I think there might be something real in the original Disneyland. There may be some power there, although twisted and hard to access. There's definitely nothing out of the ordinary about Disney World. But some parts of Florida are filled with real magic. You just have to keep your eyes open. Ah, for the mermaids of Weeki Wachee. Follow me this way.
Everywhere was the sound of music, jangling, awkward music, ever so slightly off the beaten, out of time. Wednesday took a $5 bill and put it into a change machine, receiving a handful of brass-colored metal coins in return. He tossed one to Shadow, who caught it, and realizing that a small boy was watching him, held it up between forefinger and thumb and vanished it. The small boy ran over to his mother, who was inspecting one of the ubiquitous Santa Clauses. Over 6,000 on display, the sign said, and he tugged urgently at the hem of her coat. Shadow followed Wednesday outside briefly and then followed the signs to the streets of yesterday.
40 years ago, Alex Jordan, his face is on the token you have palmed in your right hand, Shadow, began to build a house on a high jut of rock in a field he did not own, and even he could not have told you why. And people came to see him build it, the curious and the puzzled, and those who were neither, and who could not honestly have told you why they came. So he did what any sensible American male of his generation would do. He began to charge them money. Nothing much. A nickel each, perhaps, or a quarter. And he continued building. And the people kept coming. So he took those quarters and nickels and made something even bigger and stranger. He built these warehouses on the land beneath the house, and fill them with things for people to see. And then the people came to see them. Millions of people come here every year.
Why?
But Wednesday simply smiled, and they walked into the dimly lit tree-lined streets of yesterday. Prim-lipped Victorian china dolls stared in profusion through dusty store windows like so many props from respectable horror films. Cobblestones under their feet, the darkness of a roof above their heads, jangling mechanical music in the background. They passed a glass box of broken puppets and an overgrown golden music box in a glass case. They passed the dentists and the drugstore. Restore potency. Use O'Leary's magnetical belt. At the end of the street was a large glass box with a female mannequin inside it, dressed as a gypsy fortune teller.
Now,
boomed Wednesday over the mechanical music.
At the start of any quest or enterprise, it behooves us to consult the Norns. So let us designate this Sybil our Erd, eh?
He dropped a brass-colored house-on-the-rock coin into the slot. With jagged mechanical motions, the gypsy lifted her arm and lowered it once more. A slip of paper chunked out of the slot. Wednesday took it, read it, grunted, folded it up, and put it in his pocket.
Aren't you going to show it to me? I'll show you mine,
said Shadow.
A man's fortune is his own affair. I would not ask to see yours.
Shadow put his own coin in the slot. He took his slip of paper. He read it.
Every ending is a new beginning. Your lucky number is none. Your lucky color is dead. Motto, like father, like son.
Shadow made a face. He folded the fortune up and put it in his inside pocket. They went further in, down a red corridor, past rooms filled with empty chairs upon which rested violins and violas and cellos which played themselves, or seemed to, when fed a coin. Keys depressed, cymbals crashed, pipes blew compressed air into clarinets and oboes. Shadow observed with a wry amusement that the bows of the stringed instruments played by mechanical arms never actually touched the strings, which were often loose or missing. He wondered whether all the sounds he heard were made by wind and percussion or whether there were tapes as well. They had walked for what felt like several miles when they came to a room called the Mikado, one wall of which was a 19th-century pseudo-Oriental nightmare, in which beetle-browed mechanical drummers banged cymbals and drums while staring out from their dragon-encrusted lair. Currently, they were majestically torturing Saint-Saëns' Danse Macabre. Chernabog sat on a bench in the wall facing the Mikado machine, tapping out the time with his fingers. Pipes fluted, bells jangled. Wednesday sat next to him. Shadow decided to remain standing. Chernabog extended his left hand, shook Wednesday's, shook Shadow's.
"Well met,"
he said, and he sat back, apparently enjoying the music. The Danse Macabre came to a tempestuous and discordant end. That all the artificial instruments were ever so slightly out of tune added to the otherworldliness of the place. A new piece began.
"How was your bank robbery?"
asked Chernabog.
"It went well?"
He stood, reluctant to leave the Mikado and its thundering, jangling music.
"Slick as a snake in a barrel of butter," said Wednesday.
"I get a pension from the slaughterhouse,"
said Chernabog.
"I do not ask for more."
"It won't last forever. Nothing does."
More corridors, more musical machines. Shadow became aware that they were not following the path through the rooms intended for tourists, but seemed to be following a different route of Wednesday's own devising. They were going down a slope, and Shadow, confused, wondered if they had already been that way. Chernabog grasped Shadow's arm.
"Quickly, come here,"
he said, pulling him over to a large glass box by a wall. It contained a diorama of a tramp asleep in a churchyard in front of a church door. "The Drunkard's Dream," said the label, which explained that it was a 19th-century penny-in-the-slot machine, originally from an English railway station. The coin slot had been modified to take the brass house-on-the-rock coins.
"Put in the money."
"Why?"
"You must see. I show you."
Shadow inserted his coin. The drunk in the graveyard raised his bottle to his lips. One of the gravestones flipped over, revealing a grasping corpse. A headstone turned around, flowers were placed by a grinning skull. A wraith appeared on the right of the church, while on the left of the church something with a half-glimpsed, pointed, unsettlingly bird-like face, a pale Boschian nightmare, glided smoothly from a headstone into the shadows and was gone. Then the church door opened, a priest came out, and the ghosts, haunts, and corpses vanished. And only the priest and the drunk were left alone in the graveyard. The priest looked down at the drunk disdainfully and back through the open door, which closed behind him, leaving the drunk on his own. The clockwork story was deeply unsettling. Much more unsettling, thought Shadow, than clockwork has any right to be.
"You know why I showed that to you?"
"No."
"That is the world as it is. That is the real world. It is there, in that box."
They wandered through a blood-colored room filled with old theatrical organs, huge organ pipes, and what appeared to be enormous copper brewing vats liberated from a brewery.
"Where are we going?"
"The carousel."
"But we've passed signs to the carousel a dozen times already."
"He goes his way. We travel a spiral. The quickest way is sometimes the longest."
Shadow's feet were beginning to hurt, and he found this sentiment to be extremely unlikely. A mechanical machine played Octopus's Garden in a room that went up for many stories. the center of which was filled entirely with a replica of a great black whale-like beast with a life-size replica of a boat in its vast fiberglass mouth.